don't we begin with Leonard Bernstein and this project for Lenny? What was the genesis of this? When did you decide you were going to do it, and how did you bring it all together?
Well, kind of, you know, it evolved as things do. I have been playing the Bernstein anniversaries for piano for many years and really love them. I love the opportunity that they give to kind of connect with a very different side of Bernstein than we usually are familiar with. And, you know, we were getting close to the centennial year, which is a nice time to create these special tributes if there's something to say. And I think I felt that as time was going by, I was acquiring something to say about Leonard Bernstein, you know, and who he was and what he did as an American musician. So that was the kernel of it. And then came new pieces of music that were composed just for this project as tributes to Lenny, and a lot of collaboration within the world of American music that fed into this too.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know right out of the box in that first track that something's going on when you hear Kevin Alushla, you know, doing the beatbox.
Yes. I know. I'm imagining all these people turning on this CD and thinking that they've got the wrong album.
People of a certain generation, such as myself. Oh, let's hear a little West Side Story. Wait a minute. The kids left their CD in the player or something like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But you've chosen some remarkable musicians that you're interfacing with in this project. And let's talk a little bit about each of them. I mean, Kevin Alushla is fantastically talented performer.
Yeah, he really is. And somebody who represents, you know, exactly this kind of audacity in music making that I think many of us of my generation and certainly, you know, the next generation, we really at this point almost take it for granted. You know, we can do whatever is fun and sounds good and feels good. And if you think about it, Leonard Bernstein was so instrumental in making that a reality for us, you know, in breaking enough rules and changing the game enough so that we get to do this.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make sure that that was a presence here, the collaboration across genres, across traditions, across generations, you know, just with the common goal of making something that sounds good and feels good.
I want to go back and talk about some of the other performers, but let's look at Bernstein's legacy just for a minute. I mean, as an educator, he had such an influence on generations of musicians that are out there today making music. You know, where would we be without Bernstein?
Yeah, it's really remarkable, you know, so many different ways in which he changed the culture. I can tell you there's not a concert when I play Bernstein's music that I don't have conversations afterwards with, you know, at least a handful of people who say to me, I grew up watching the Young People's Concerts on TV, you know, and it changed my life. And I think about that. I mean, that's a very profound statement, right? Because those same people are in the concert hall to hear me, which means that they've actually stayed connected to this music throughout their lives. And, you know, who knows, by virtue of watching that show when they were little kids.
Yeah.
So there's that. I can't think of anybody else who did anything like that, you know, and also just he was such an authentic musician. He was such an authentic artist. He was also a superstar, and he was able to take that superstar status, you know, the charisma and the glamour that he was able to channel so easily and so well. And, you know, he used that for good. He used that in order to really put this music, you know, right at the center of American life.
Yeah. Well, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I used to be a singer, and I was actually studying at Tanglewood during Lenny's 70th birthday, and I got to perform on that big gala.
No, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, amazing.
So I
there's a piece on here that was written for that occasion.
Yeah, I was. I saw the premiere of that Lucas Foss piece.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it immediately brings up all these memories that I have watching him. Yeah, he wasn't in the greatest shape at that time, but he was still had the music in him, you know, and you could see that from miles away.
Yeah.
And I love how you've gathered together a lot of people who did know him well and who did interact with him, and they're offering up their own tributes as well. Somebody like Thomas Hampson, for instance.
Yeah. I mean, of magical moments that I've had in my musical life, working with Tom on this song was just spectacular. you know, Tom will be the first to tell you that he wouldn't be where he is as an artist if it weren't for his early contact and his mentorship with Lenny, the work that they did together. I think he looks to Bernstein as his most profound influence. And to, you know, revisit this song, which he's got stories about hanging out backstage with LB in Vienna and, you know, just sort of messing around with this song for fun. And he talks about Bernstein always wanting to come back and revisit Mass. And, you know, so to be able to do this with him, you know, at this point in his career and this point in his evolution, I think that the rendition, the interpretation of the song here is so full of love and, you know, the growth of a lifetime. And it has this flexibility and freedom that, you know, you only acquire when you live with something for a long time.
I will sing the Lord a new song, to praise him, to bless him, to bless the Lord. I will sing his praises while I live all of my days.
Yeah, it's really, I think that the connection here between the past and the present and the future is something that I just feel privileged to be able to pull it all together.
Yeah, well, you're sort of the touchstone for all of these folks coming together on this album. Let's talk about some of your other collaborators. Now, did people choose the works that they wanted to do with you? How did you decide who was going to do what?
I really did actually invite collaborators with specific pieces of music in mind. Rhiannon Giddens and I were introduced last summer, and we spent... I heard her perform. I wasn't so familiar with her, you know, her superstardom within the world of bluegrass, but I had heard her solo album Freedom Highway and was just so moved by that. And I think that we share a lot of common passion and curiosity and commitment to doing what we do with American music. And this song, So Pretty, was something that I really wanted to do with her because it's a song that is it is also a simple song. A song that is touching on a gigantic question and problem. It's an anti-war song, but it's sung in the voice of a child. And it's, you know, just very simply stating the impossibility of understanding the violence that human beings, you know, visit upon each other. And so I think, you know, for us to come together and kind of pay tribute to the piece of Leonard Bernstein that was an activist and committed to social justice and not afraid to speak his mind about that is something that makes a lot of sense.
They're so pretty, so pretty.
Well, it's a beautiful song, and it is, as you said, a protest song, really, an anti-war song against the Vietnam War at that time. But you know, Bernstein, known, as you mentioned, for his activism, he was not shy about his political beliefs. What do you think he would make of today's climate in politics?
I think he would be, you know, he would be out there using his music and his voice for everything that he believed in. I think he always did that. And I think that, you know, even more so, if he were with us now, with the kind of disconnect and the kind of division that we are experiencing, I think that he would be a fighter. You know, he would be a fighter for truth and justice, and he would take the music out to the streets to make it happen. I really do think so. Jamie Bernstein, his daughter, wrote an article recently about his commitment, you know, to social causes during his time and how he would connect with movements today, specifically Take a Knee. And I think that growing up in these times, living, you know, being an artist in these times, the courage of one's convictions is something it's a responsibility, I think. And so there too, I take a lot of inspiration from him.
Yeah. Well, the inspiration, and you were also, a vessel for moving this music forward and bringing it to new ears through these new arrangements and through this collection, mm-hmm. this album.
I hope so.
Tell us about the other collaborator on here, the clarinetist, who I did not know.
Well, because he's only 17, very recently 17. And, you know, here too, I think this is movement into the future, absolutely, and reflects on Bernstein's commitment to education and mentorship and supporting the next generation. I met Javier about a year ago through the Young Artist Program that I run at the University of California, Davis, the Mondavi Center for the Performing Arts. Mm-hmm. He auditioned in Los Angeles. He's a student at the Colburn School there. And, you know, just an old soul, a beautiful musician, plays really from the heart. And so, you know, it was a privilege to be able to invite him to, you know, be part of this recording, to collaborate with him, to share musical thoughts. I think his story also is relevant right now. He's Javier is a first generation Californian, but he's a third generation clarinetist. His dad and his grandfather both played clarinet in traditional Mexican bands in Oaxaca. But, you know, he's here and dealing with the political climate, you know, of this moment and as a new arrival and, you know, with so much to give to our culture, our country, our world. Pleasure to work with him.
You have a 17-year-old clarinetist, but on the other end of the spectrum, you have music by a contemporary of Bernstein's who's still with us at 94, and that's Ned Roram.
Yeah.
Tremendous, you know, wide range of composers that you have represented here.
Yeah, I felt like I wanted to seize the day, you know, and make sure that we pulled all of these people together. I got to spend some time with Ned in his apartment in New York and, you know, hear his stories about knowing Lenny when they were both teenagers. And, you know, so to have that perspective alongside the perspective of somebody who's never met Bernstein, who, you know, only knows him as a legend, it's, there's a lot to say.
You've spent a lot of time thinking about and recording and performing specifically American music. What would you say is specifically American about Bernstein? Or maybe it flows the other way. I'm not sure. What would you make of that?
You know, I think it flows both ways. I think, you know, he came into prominence at a time when the model of, you know, a serious classical musician was certainly European, you know, and he put this very New World stamp on that, the persona that he had as a conductor and as a composer and as a, you know, a celebrity was so American. His courage to pull together, you know, music from popular culture and transform what American music sounded like, it's a very American thing, I think. Yeah. He just took risks, you know, and I think he believed in democracy. He really believed in democracy through the arts and through the beautiful things that our culture produces and took a stand there. So I think, you know, he was formed by his time, but he also formed his time and he formed the next generations in very, very profound ways.
Yeah, and it's great to see that legacy being passed down, even through projects like what you have here.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you grow up with this music in your ear, by the way? Were you listening to Bernstein when you were very young?
I did. I watched West Side Story when I was really little and fell in love with the music and the story and Maria. You know, I think I wanted to be Maria when I grew up. I mean, it wasn't a great choice, but, you know, there was that white dress. And then I actually did get to meet him a couple of times when I was a kid. Once at Tanglewood, mm-hmm. and I have this memory of just seeing him sort of levitate across the lawn. You know, it was sort of held up with this crowd of adoring students. And it was really like, you know, having this glimpse of his godlike figure. Yeah. And then we got to spend time, my sisters and I got to spend time with him once in Vienna backstage. I don't know how my mom talked her way backstage, but we did get to meet him. And I've never forgotten those few minutes.
Oh, wonderful. And you were like, I'm Maria.
Yes, right. Yeah. Well, you know, they are casting the movie now, so I do have a chance.
Hey, there you go. I'll put in a good word for what it's worth.
Thank you.
The album is called For Lenny, celebration for the 100th birthday of Leonard Bernstein. It doesn't seem like it's been 100 years. You know, he still seems so young and fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
In the mind's eye. Mm-hmm. And more information at your website. Lara, tell us where people can go to watch the videos and read all about it.
Yes, so I have been, over the last month, putting together podcasts that tell the stories behind most of these tracks, behind-the-scenes videos, which are fun to watch, I think, you know, shot in the studio and on location with my guests on the album. And they're all housed on my website. So if you go to laradowns.com, you'll have a little portal into the world of For Lenny, the world of Bernstein. And I hope that you'll visit and spend some time.
Well, thanks so much for spending your time with us here on FM 91.
Thank you so much for having me.